Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, home of the voice you trust for the family you love. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we are sharing a classic Family Talk broadcast featuring Dr. Dobson and his good friend, author, comedian, and speaker, Dennis Swanberg. The two will be talking about the Swans' 2014 book, Planting Shade Trees. And to introduce his guest, here now is Dr. James Dobson.
I have a treat for you today. We're going to interact with a guest that I have known since 1987, and we have been close friends ever since. He lives on the East Coast, and I now live in the Southwest, but his name is Dennis Swanberg, Dr. Dennis Swanberg. I said we met in 1987. We really didn't. I got a tape. And I mean, I was driving the car and I almost hit a tree. I was laughing so hard. And I was on the way to a football game shortly after that. And I brought that tape with me and played it for all the guys in the car. And I mean, we were rocking down the freeway. And I put that on the air. And that was one of the top 100 broadcasts that we did for many years. Yeah. Until I left Focus on the Family.
Yeah. How about that? Well, I remember it well. I tell you, that was a big thing for me. I was a pastor, you know, in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I remember
used to live there.
And that's right. Yeah. And I remember getting up to go fishing with a buddy, and I said, turn the radio on. I'm supposed to be on. They're supposed to play my tape. And so we listened to it, and they went, how'd you get on there? I said, man, I don't know who. I didn't know who gave you the tape. Been one of those mysteries over these years. Anyhow, they planted a shade tree for me by giving you that cassette tape.
Well, I saw that God was blessing you and that He had given you a talent. And you not only had a great sense of humor and were able to tell a story like nobody I knew, but you also put a message in there. And I just have enjoyed working with you.
Well,
now,
thank you.
Well, in fact, I'm holding your book, Planting Shade Trees. The Swan teaches us that though not everyone can be a legend, we can have the opportunity and responsibility to leave a godly legacy. That was written by Dr. Charles Stanley.
Right.
And that's really what you're getting at. Of course, you know I have a new book out called Legacy, too.
I remember when you were telling me that you were working on it, I said, Doc, you got to do it because people want to know who planted a shade tree for you. They want to know who are the people that, you know, helped you. And now you're leaving a legacy because people, you know, they planted seeds in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, as I would learn more and more about you, you know, being, you know, in Texas, South Texas and mm-hmm. Hot Springs. We both had been in Hot Springs
born in Louisiana, which is your state.
That's mm-hmm. right. And then hearing your stories about your dad, you know, your grandpa, people that, you know, prayed for you, they imparted to you a special blessing.
Listen, I've got trees all over the place that were planted by other people. And sometimes I feel like one of God's spoiled kids because
I do too.
I
feel like, why didn't they get more attention than what I'm getting? Because they are the heroes. But I've often told folks, I said, you know, when we get to heaven, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have Paul Harvey in heaven at the big banquet. And Paul Harvey says, and now the rest of the story. Page two. And that's where God will reveal all that was done in His name. And that's going to be awesome. And that will last for eternity and be known for eternity. I mean, that's just one aspect of heaven that I think will be so neat. It's almost like the old show, This Is Your Life. I mean, we see the back of the tapestry, how all this happened. Who was it that prayed for Jim Dobson when he was a boy? What teacher was that that made an influence? Who did that for Dennis Swanberg? Who was the change agent for him when he was in college and high school? And that's going to be known, and much glory is going to be given to the Father because of it.
Why don't you explain the concept of the shade tree? What does that mean?
Well, you know, my great-grandfather came from Sweden in the 1880s. He bought a piece of land there in Texas at a little community called New Sweden, just east of Austin, Texas. And so what he did was he built the house, and he planted some shade trees around the house because east of Austin there wasn't any trees. So he did that. Well, when my grandpa was five, they said he took sick and died. You know, back then that's all they knew. He took sick and died. But he planted a shade tree. He never sat under. My grandpa sat under him. My mother did. I have. My two boys have.
Same tree.
And those trees, you know, that are there to this day. And I got to thinking, you know, he planted shade trees for me because he was also licensed to preach the gospel by the Methodist Episcopal Church of Austin in 1898. But he never got to preach. He got licensed, but he died before he got to preach. Well, we found a letter that his pastor wrote after his death. We translated it from Swedish into English. Pastor Olander, he was talking about what a good man he was and a godly man he was and how he loved his family. And then at the bottom, it says he was like the giant oak tree that fell in the midst of the storm. And then the next line said, who will take his place? And when I read that, I said, I will. I'll take his place. So I have his picture on my – I have a wall in my office. I call it my legend wall. And I look at him, and I see his license, and I see the church that he built, and I see that letter, and I go, I'm going to keep planting shade trees. I'm going to plant shade trees for others. And in this book, Planting Shade Trees, that you want to plant shade trees that I may never sit under, but others will. Now, some of the shade trees we plant, we get to enjoy. But there are many that we're going to plant that we never get to enjoy. You know, I have in my book stories of all these trees, like the Muir Woods out there in Golden Gate. You know, those are awesome. They're 1,000 years old. Well, how have they made it so long, Doc? Well, their roots shake hands with each other.
Yeah.
Their roots hold each other up, and we hold each other up. You and I, we've prayed for each other over the years. Mm-hmm. We've held each other up. And all the folks that have listened to you and part of your ministry over the years, our roots hold us up together, and it gives us a lasting power.
Mentioning trees in the hill country of Texas, there are mesquite trees everywhere, and there's very little water in that part of Texas. That's why they can't really grow anything there.
Right.
And as a result, the mesquite trees don't have enough water to really sustain themselves, and they send a root system down
deep,
30 feet.
Yes.
And they are so well rooted that nothing can blow them over because of the deprivation that they've gone through. Now, in a rainforest where there's all kinds of water every day, they have shallow roots, and a windstorm will blow them over because they have not had the trials,
right,
the deprivation that the mesquite tree has had. And that applies. That'll preach. Swan.
And the redwoods, you know, another thing I learned, you know, I love reading those little signs as you walk through the woods, you know, about the redwoods and everything. You know, they have fires. Used to, they'd think, well, that fire's bad. No, a fire can be good. It cleans the floor. And when they have a fire, the resin on the pine cones melt, and the pine cones finally open, and the seed falls out and then is able to produce. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to have a fire.
Yeah.
God allows fires in our life, you know, so that it can sustain us.
You got a chapter that says everybody needs somebody.
Everybody.
Who do you need, Swanee?
You know, I need my sugar babe, my wife, my honey love, my little woman. She's a Martha, and she's always bossing me around, but I got to have it. And she's tough and strong. We've been married 35-plus years, and
you
I need her.
You talk about her a lot. What's her name?
I do. Laurie, my little Laurie. And but I also need friends. For instance, I live in Monroe, Louisiana. I lived with the Duck Dynasty boys, you know, before they were on television.
You've known
them
for
20 years. And they're good people, by the way. But anyhow, I was pastor at First Baptist Church there, and when I left in 95 to do this full time, people said, well, why don't you live in Nashville? Why don't you live in Atlanta or Dallas? I live in Monroe, Louisiana. Why? My friends. I live there because of my friends, yeah. My buddies. You know, I've got my buddies there. I call them the boys on the bayou. And Laurie has her steel magnolias. They even know which one's Weeza, you know, in the old movie Steel Magnolias. Shirley MacLaine was that gal that said, I'm not mad. I've just been in a bad mood for 40 years, you know. And she has her steel magnolias. And I've told people, if you could live anywhere you wanted to live, live with your friends. Live with those people that are going to haul me out one day in my casket.
And I need like my friends. Those you've known for about 40 years.
So I've been there 23 years. But my friends, they are those shade trees that our roots shake hands with each other and we hold each other up. And you've got to have that. In this life, you need friends. You need people.
Were you a pastor in that area?
Yeah, I was pastor at First Baptist West Monroe, Louisiana.
But not now.
Not now. No, I left the pastorate in 95, and I remember when I was leaving the pastorate, I called my mama, Pauline Bernadine. I said, "Mom, I'm leaving the pastorate. I'm gonna be a full time speaker." She said, "You stay in that church. That's where you belong. You're a preacher, and don't you leave." I said, "Well, Mom, I think I might speak to more people than I've ever spoken to before. It's not the same. Don't tell me it is. You're a preacher." Well, I think now, 23 years later, she understands that I'm in the niche that I need to be in and to be a minister of encouragement, and that's what I love doing.
How did you come to know the Lord?
I was raised in a Methodist church in Austin, Texas, and man, we went to, if the doors are open, we're going. I mean, my dad, there's no discussion, we're going. My dad had a good experience with the Lord when he was in his early 20s, and he decided at boot camp down at Fort Polk, Louisiana, which is a hot spot.
Yeah.
He decided down there, it wasn't a Bible study, it wasn't a revival. He said, "I'm going to be a godly man, and that's who I'm going to be." And so he was just one fine man. You know, I'd gone through confirmation and all that, you know, but finally at age 17, we had a revivalist, Methodist revivalist guy come to our church, and he preached. And I realized that I'd always believed in God, but I'd never received him. There's a difference, you know. Even the demons believe, but I believed, and I had a respect about God and knew of him and all my life. But it wasn't until March 15th, 1971, on a Monday night, that I said, I'm giving him my life. I'm receiving him into my life. And, man, what a difference that made. I mean, that was the biggie for me. When that happened, my high school football chaplain, Marshall Edwards, he was a Baptist preacher in town. He's a young preacher. He's 32. And I just looked up to him, and he was pivotal in planting seeds and me coming to Christ. And so my senior year, after I'd gotten saved, when I came back to school, we started an FCA. And then I was going to go play football.
Fellowship of Christian
Athletes. And I was going to go play football at Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. It was hot down there in that sulfur plant. I said, "Lord, help me." So I went back home. I quit. I was homesick. And when I drove home in that 64 Chevy and pulled in my driveway, my dad came out there and he opened the door and he said, we called Marshall Edwards Rabbi. He said, "Rabbi is going to take you and me up to Baylor on Friday." Well, this was Wednesday night. Well, he said, "Well, Rabbi's taking us up there. He says you need to go to college." And I wasn't going to go to college. I was just going to do moving and hauling. We were working people. And Marshall picks us up in his car. We drive up there to Waco. And when the day is finished, I'm enrolled at Baylor University. I'm there to play baseball. It was a private school. We didn't have the money. We didn't know how we were going to do it, but we're going to do it. And came home. And a long story, a little shorter, Marshall Edwards ended up going up there to Columbus Avenue Baptist in Waco like a few months later. I didn't know how Baptists steal another preacher, you know, from another church. But so he got up there. I joined his Baptist church. I thought, he's done so much for me, I'm going to join up with these Baptists. You know how Baptists are. They put you underneath the water, won't let you up till you say tithe. But so I joined, and then I became his youth minister that next semester. So I quit baseball, and I became his youth pastor. He became my father in the ministry. And I had people there, the Marsteller family, let me live with them. I had a guy in the book called Rev Winchell. He, when I left to go to seminary, he bought me a car. I can't even believe it. I called my dad and said, Dad, this man's going to buy me a car, because my car had died like a week before I was going to seminary in Fort Worth. And my dad said, don't you dare take it from him, because tell him to help somebody that really needs help. I said, Daddy, we are those people. And then my dad said, what a man, what a man. And so they planted shade trees for me at Baylor. You know, when I go back to Marshall Edwards and look what he did, he was a 32-year-old guy. I wasn't even a member of his church. He was my high school football chaplain. But he took a day off, took me up there. One day changed my world. Changed my world. And so since then, when I became a pastor, I was taking boys to Baylor. I was taking young ladies to Baylor. I was taking them to this school, that school, Mississippi College. Because I asked Marshall one time, I said, how can I ever repay these people for what they've done? You know, I had people that helped pay my education. I mean, one thing after another. And he said, well, you can't repay them, but one day when you have an opportunity,
you pass it on.
You plant a shade tree for somebody.
You also talk about five elements of a shade tree planter.
You know, what does it take to plant a shade tree? Well, here's the preacher coming out in me. The story I love is Jeremiah chapter 32. It was a bad, tough time. The Babylonians were coming in. They were taking over. They were taking God's people into Babylon, into bondage. I mean, it is the worst of times. But sometimes in the worst of times, God does some of his best things. And he spoke to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, I want you to buy the field at Anathoth. I want you to pay 17 shekels of silver for it. I mean, that's like a year and a half salary of a good working man. I want you to sign the documents, put them in earthen jars. They need to last a long time, because one day houses and fields and vineyards will again be planted in this land. One day my people will return. And we know from our history, 70 years later, the Persians defeated the Babylonians. And when Cyrus saw the witness of Daniel and those three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, if y'all want to go home, go home. And they came back. And when they came back, they lived at Anathoth. And they did all that. Why? Because Jeremiah planted a shade tree he never, ever sat under. So what does it take to plant a shade tree? Real quick, it takes your sensitivity. Jeremiah, he heard from God. Our God is self-revelatory. He speaks. We need to listen. We need to be better listeners. He has something to say to all of us. Second thing, it takes your surrender. I've got to surrender to plant a shade tree. I just can't do it on my own. I have to surrender under his power to do it, for him to do it in and through me. The next thing, it takes your silver. It takes your money. And everybody knows I'm going to bring that up, but it takes your money. You know, your ministry here, it's worldwide, you know, here on Family Talk, but it just doesn't happen. Our liquid money is the way we water a tree. You know, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. And it costs money to plant a shade tree. I mean, my wife landscaped our house again and wanted different trees and wanted them full grown. Lord have mercy, have you bought a full grown tree lately? And so it takes your silver, and then it takes your sight. You got to see it. Do you have a vision? Do you have a dream? You had a vision. You had a dream. Now, that was a long time ago, Doc. But I remember those days when you dreamed and you probably never imagined. But I mean, what God did was
Shock to me the whole way.
The whole has it been a great ride? It's almost like Lonesome Dove. You know, you want to look at each other and say it's been quite a party, hadn't it?
And that's the way I feel about it.
I mean, it's been a party.
You know, I have had board members and others who have urged me to do long-range planning and to think about where this is going. I never would do it because, frankly, I didn't feel like I owned it or I was responsible for it. My job was to be faithful and not mess it up. But the plan that was unfolding was a surprise to me the whole way.
I mean, it's, as I would used to say in the voice of Billy Graham, it was like a Billy Graham movie, you know, as it unfolded, unbelievable. Yeah. Well, the last point of what it takes to plant a shade tree that I have in the book is it takes your signature. Jeremiah signed those documents He did it in front of witnesses. He signed on that parchment. They rolled it up, put it in these earthen jars because God told him it needs to last a long time. And 70 years later, when God's people came back and they opened up those jars and they saw his signature, that land was theirs. You know, the power of a signature. Your signature, my signature, is our character. It's our integrity to do what God has told us to do.
You know, for my grandparents and my grandfather particularly, who was not a Christian till right before he died, it didn't take a signature. It took a handshake.
Yes.
That's all that it required. And you could take that to the bank.
Isn't that awesome? I want to ask people to pray about the shade trees that you're going to plant for your family, for your church, your faith. And I want you to pray about the shade trees you want to plant for Dr. Dobson's Family Talk. This work is still going on. I'll tell you, folks, he looks good. He feels good. He's in good shape. He works out every day. He's going strong. And we need someone that has wisdom to pass that wisdom on.
You're very kind.
Well, that's the truth. That's just the bottom line.
I love swapping stories with you. Let me tell you about my father. My dad had a hard time getting settled spiritually because the Lord called him to preach and he didn't want to go. And they had a revival meeting at their church, and that's where he settled the question and he accepted the call to preach. And that revival cost $600, and my dad was their only convert. And for $600, and people complained about it, he went on to reach tens of thousands of people for the Lord, and one of them was me.
Exactly.
I pray that I'm leaving some shade trees. You know, only God knows. But don't you want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Anything matter more than that?
And to plant a shade tree, the answer is be a shade tree. Psalm 1, be like a tree planted by the river and absorb all his nutrients and his water, his strength. You be the tree that God wants you to be, and you will naturally plant more shade trees.
Let me go back to that story of Elijah, where he had faced down the prophets of Baal, and 400 of them did their dance, and they couldn't bring down fire to set the sacrifice on fire. And Elijah then called down fire from heaven. Then Jezebel tried to kill him, and he had to run. And who knows how far he ran, but he was exhausted. He was absolutely exhausted. And our Heavenly Father looked down at him and said, you need rest. And he put him to sleep. And when he woke up, there was a little meal there for him, meat brought by the ravens. Can't you see our Heavenly Father, if we're talking to people right now who just worn out and things have not gone well, and you feel like you just can't keep going, you can't put another foot in front of the other, and you've sat down, and isn't the imagery of that great to think that the God of the universe is looking down saying, oh, I understand.
And
my heart
knows.
Goes out to you. I'm going to take care of you.
And you remember what happened there with Elijah? He heard the still, small voice of God speak to him. You know, if we will hear him, that will sustain us in the toughest of times.
It's a good place to end. Dr. Dennis Swanberg, I call him the big swan at his request. I call you Swanee. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for the things that you said.
Well, thank you.
I trust there's some people out there that'll get this book, Planting Shade Trees, but will also look for a way to plant their own shade tree.
Amen. Thank you.
Powerful reminder that God takes care of his children. You just heard part one of a classic three-part program featuring Dennis Swanberg right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have you been the beneficiary of a shade tree planted in your life? Maybe by your parents or your grandparents, a coach or a mentor? Well, take a few moments today to thank God for their impact on your life. If they're still around, maybe write them a note or give them a call to express your gratitude. Now, to learn more about Dennis Swanberg, his ministry, or his book called Planting Shade Trees, visit drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Or give us a call at 877-732-6825. Thanks again for joining us here on Family Talk. Listen again tomorrow to catch part two of our classic broadcast featuring Dennis Swanberg on the topic of leaving a legacy and planting shade trees. That's coming up right here next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.